If you're happy to be in church today, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Much better place than being in the county jail, right?
Yep.
Better than being in line waiting to pay your electric bill. Amen.
Amen.
Better than sitting behind a lady at Walmart or a man with lots of pennies paying for their bill. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Even better than sitting in line at Six Flags waiting for a carnival ride, right?
Right.
I didn't get a lot of strong amens on that one. Like, Pastor, you're pushing your luck. You're pushing your luck a little there. Well, boy, I'm glad to see you here this morning. We're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, open up there. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8. We're going to talk about a lot of different scriptures today, but we're going to start here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, looking at verses 1 through 8. The title of the sermon today is Handling Life's Changes. Handling life's changes. Boy, it seems like we have so many changes coming at us, fast and furious. How do we handle all of life's changes? And so let's look at the scripture here and see what kind of advice we can get from God's holy word. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, looking at verses 1 through 8. We'll start us off. It says, everything has a time. To everything there is a season. A time for every purpose under heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. There's a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. There's a time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just open this service in You, God, asking You, Lord, to use us as Your instruments, God. I pray, Lord, that today, Lord, as we start looking at all these different changing seasons, all these changes that take place in our life, Lord, I pray, God, that You would just anoint us with the Holy Spirit, God, that we would just feel the outflowing of the Holy Spirit working in our lives and speaking to us, Lord. Take away all the burdens. Take away all the stress. Take away all the worries, Lord. Help us just to focus on what You have for us today, Lord. Let us come hungry to be able to eat from the Word of God this morning, Lord. Jesus, we thank You for everything that You've done, but we thank You most for dying on the cross to forgive us for our sins, because someday, Lord, if we know You as our Lord and Savior, we'll be in heaven with You. Thank You, Lord, for all that You do, for it's in Your name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So over the past few weeks, we've been going through a lot of transitions. I mean, if you look around in the church, we've been going through a lot of change. We've been going through a lot of transitions, a lot of tough times. And as we're going through those things, you wonder, how do you handle situations like this? We have people going through change of losing loved ones and learning how to continue on in their stead. We have people that are going through the transition of change by selling one home and moving to another, and sometimes even an entirely new city. We have people that are transitioning from the military to civilian life. We have people that are changing from one job to another job. Soon we have people that are going from high school situations to the workforce or to college. There's just all kinds of change that has taken place. And when you think about it, life is full of changes, isn't it? It is. It's full of changes. In our church, we're going through a big season of change. Through change, we have great opportunities to grow. To grow closer to the Lord, to grow closer to our fellow man or woman, to be able to get closer to God and spend more time with Him. But we also have time to maybe hurt or to weep. Change is tough, isn't it? For many of us, change is unnatural. It's not something that we want to do. It's not something that we're excited about. Some of us are kind of creatures of habit. We like to be a turtle and just go back into that little shell. We don't want to change. We don't want to morph. We don't want to go into anything. Why do things have to change? I was so happy just being a nice little book sitting on a shelf. Don't move me. Don't dust me off. Just leave me alone. Don't we feel like that sometimes? How many of you in the congregation today think change is difficult? Let me see your hands. If change is just something that's tough for you. Yeah. How many people in the congregation today are going through some type of change in their life? Yes, definitely. So, while change is tough, change really is inevitable when you think about it. There are changes in all kinds of things in life that you can't stop. There are changes in technology. There are changes in medicine. There's changes in entertainment. There's changes in fashions and clothing. And there's changes that we face in our life, right? Some of those changes are good and exciting. And others are really difficult and really tough. The good news, though, is we were made for change. I mean, God built us for change. Think about it. Do you look like you looked when you first came out of your mother's womb? No, of course not, right? You're a lot bigger. And that's where I'll stop. But there's a lot of things that have changed, right? Many of you no longer drink from the bottle. You drink from a glass. And for those of you that are still drinking from the bottles, you need to switch over to the glasses. But there are some things that changes are good, right? How did you get to church this morning? Did you come in a wagon-covered vehicle with a horse towing you? No, you came in a motor vehicle most of you, or walked, right? What about washing those clean clothes that you're having on today? Did you take your scrub board and your bucket and you were... No, of course, not long gone are those days. You threw the clothes into the electric washer. Maybe you use laundry detergent. Maybe you're like me, you're cheap. And so you buy that 99-cent bottle of shampoo and you put one circle in there. It does a great job washing clothes. Anybody ever been there before? Yeah, hey, praise the Lord. Change is inevitable. Change is something that we all have to deal with. But change in itself is not necessarily bad. When you think about it, the problem is not change. The problem is how do we react to change? How do we deal with the change? So let me say that again. The problem is not with change, but the problem is how do we react to the change? Know what I'm saying? Because change can be good, change can be bad, but how we react is the key. And so today I want to talk about how do we handle change. Who handles change well? Does anybody there they just float like a butterfly? As things change, you just morph with it. Yeah, that's good. It's hard to handle change well. It's hard to handle change well. Some people are laughing at me like, Pastor, you shouldn't be preaching on this today. Who doesn't handle change well? Yeah. You know, I didn't handle change so well. I was in Japan one time, and I handed them $10 for this thing, or 10 yen, or whatever, for this thing I was buying. And I think I was buying, it was like $1.25-ish. And so this person gave me back nothing but change. And I looked back at him like, I may be a tourist, and I may be an American, but you're trying to rip me off. And then I counted the change, and sure enough, I counted back the $10. And boy, did I feel like an idiot. But so I didn't handle change so well, so to speak. But that's not the kind of change that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the internal change. And so the Bible tells us that there's lots of changes taking place. In Ecclesiastes 3, starting with verse 1, says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, time to born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And so as we read through the Bible and we understand some of the stories in the Bible, we see that change takes place everywhere, doesn't it? Abraham, I feel sorry for that guy's wife. I'm serious on so many levels. But I mean, Abraham, here you got this guy. He goes up and he has this experience with God. I believe he had an experience with the Lord. And the Lord tells him, you're going to move all this stuff to another land. And so he's a guy. And so we're like, yeah, venture. Sounds good. You know, we don't hear the other part of the story about when he went home to tell the wife and the kids and all those people. Hey, guys. Hey, we're all moving. We're all going somewhere. Oh, really? That's great. Where are we going? I don't know. We're going somewhere. Let's go. That was some serious change. I mean, at least Bill has somewhat of a direction. He knows he's moving to Americas. I mean, Ronnie and Connie, they have no clue. They're like, we sold the house. We're waiting 2 years to sell that house. Then we said, Lord, please, please sell this house. We prayed. It's gone. Uh-oh. We're homeless. So if you see Ronnie and Connie standing outside Walmart saying, we'll work for food, question if they really are meaning what that sign says. No, I'm kidding. But they don't even know where they're moving. They're moving to a rental place for right now, but they have no idea where their permanent home's going to be. Do you think that causes a little stress in life? Yeah, that could cause some stress in life. Then there was David. You think about David in the Bible. Here he was. I was talking about this with somebody about how much a suit of armor could potentially weigh. Here you got this little boy David, a shepherd, and he moved from a warrior from a shepherd to a warrior to a king. Talk about a lot of changes. That guy went through a lot of changes in life. But it doesn't just stop with him. Think about the story of Jonah. Jonah went through some changes, right? I mean, sure, he had to get swallowed by a fish and vomited up, but he went through some changes in life, didn't he? I mean, that would have been kind of a tough change. I would at least, like, wiggled the tonsils of the fish, you know? I don't know if fish have tonsils, but I would have had to, like, wiggle those little tonsils to see what happened. I don't know. But anyway, old Jonah. Jonah went through a lot of change. Jonah wasn't even happy about the situation. But he still went through change. He did what he needed to do. And then there's disciples. They went from being alongside Jesus, walking and talking with him, ministering to him, to Jesus being gone and then being spread out all over and then being able to share the gospel of God. They went through a whole unique set of changes themselves. So the question isn't whether or not change is going to take place in your life. Change is definitely taking place. It's going to continue to take place. The question is, how will you handle the change? So I wonder, do you really trust God? And you'll say yes, but in a minute I'll convince you. Do you really trust God completely? Or do you worry about things and stress about things? I mean, do we trust God and seek Him about our changes? Or do we worry and put our head in the sand and hide? You're like, well, it depends on the change, Pastor. Maybe that's what you're thinking. Well, if you would please look right up here. It says, be still and know that I'm God. We agree with that, right? And then you come over here and it says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I think the rest of it goes, and lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge Him and He will make your pathway straight. So, okay, lean not unto our own understanding. We sang about that today, leaning on the everlasting arms. Trusting in God to provide us a path. We're good with that. But here's the hard part here. Trust in the Lord. Okay, I trust in God. He's going to save me. I'm going to heaven. Life's good. But then there's this thing right here that's underlined. All. With all your heart. That doesn't mean you just trust Him with your aorta or your left ventricle or part of your heart. That means trust Him with the whole shebang, your whole heart. And so as I'm talking about this today, I wonder, how do you really trust God? Is He like you say about your children sometimes? Well, I trust my kid about as far as I can throw him. I don't know if you can throw God or not. I've never tried that. I don't recommend it. But I mean, how much do you really trust God? Think about that. So answer these questions to yourself today. Be completely honest. Be completely quiet. Just think about this to yourself. Do you really completely and faithfully trust God with your family? Can you say that today? Do you really trust God with your finances? What about your daily problems? Do you completely and totally trust God with the change in life that you're facing right now? When you pray to God, do you trust He's going to answer that? Do you truly trust God about life after death? You see, it's easy to say you trust God. Easy to say it, but to show trust is a completely different story. Let me put this into a little bit different perspective for you. If you completely and totally trust God with those things I said, then you don't have any stress in your life. If you completely and totally trust God with all those different things, then you don't have any worry in your life. If you completely, totally trust God with all those things, then I'm just wasting time standing up here. But my guess is you probably don't completely and totally trust God. So think about this. What is your biggest worry right now? What is stressing you out right now? Who wants to share? We're a family. It's okay. I mean, we all have problems. Who wants to share something that they're just being stressed out about? Yeah, Angela?
It's public knowledge now, but they're going to be closing the Reading School.
Yeah.
In my district, and for the last couple of weeks, we've all been pretty stressed and worried about who's going to stay and who's going to have to find a different job.
Yeah. So that's something that is definitely would cause some stress in your life, could definitely cause some worry in your life. Who has something else they're willing to offer? Yeah, Brother Ronnie.
Not knowing where we're
going to
go.
Yeah, not knowing where you're going to live, right? Like it says, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him. He'll make your pathway straight. You're like, that's good, God. Cobblestone road to my new house. I'm up for that. I'll take that. Right? And so there's some things that we worry about. There's some things that we trust God with because we think He's going to help us. But we can't jump in with both feet for some reason, right? There are those things. God says, completely trust me. I created you. I made you. I'm not going to do anything to steer you wrong. But for some reason, there's something in our mind that gives us just a struggle with that. Worry is about as natural as change. There are some people who say they don't worry about anything. I wish I was that guy. I do. I really don't want to worry about things. When Faith would call me and say, I'm going to visit the cousins. Hence means she's being deployed somewhere. I would love to think that I have nothing to worry about. Ah, South Korea, Australia, any of those places, they're perfectly safe. But no. I have my daughter call me one time and she says, Dad, this is ridiculous. And I said, what? I said, would you believe this? We've been in this stupid dungeon, this concrete dungeon forever. And finally, we get 2 days to go walk around South Korea, and those idiots in North Korea start launching bombs and stuff over here, and now we can't go anywhere. I said, Faith, I think it's a little more important than you not being able to go anywhere. You know what I mean, Dad. So, I mean, it's natural. Natural worry is something natural to us. And I think that's why the Bible has so much to say about it. Right? Because if none of us worried, we wouldn't have to have this section in the Bible. But God tells us. He says, I know you're going to be dealing with some change. I know you're going to be dealing with worry. And He knows what worry does to us. You know what worry does to us? It robs us of our joy. You can't have joy in your heart and your life and be happy if you're always worried about something, right? You know what else worry does to you? It tears you apart physically. It does. Physically. I mean, you'll have acid reflux. You'll have stomach problems. You'll have ulcers. Why? Because you worry. And the funny thing about worry is you can't even do anything about what you're worrying about. Hence why you worry about it. I mean, what a mess this stuff is in. So I'm thankful that God gives us something to be able to go to because He wants us to be able to have a grasp over our lives. He wants us to be able to trust in Him so that our lives don't get ruined. And so God shares something with us, something that all of us know in our church. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34, but I'm going to read it anyway. It says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? That verse always makes me think, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? No. And yet, why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was never dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Here's the verses I like best. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In this passage, three times Jesus is telling the disciples, don't worry, don't be anxious, don't worry. He knows they're going to go through some big changes in their life. He knows their future is going to be, from what they see, kind of scary. He knows that they're going to have times where they're even challenged in their faith. But so what He tells them is, don't worry, I'm taking care of this. But we're not good at dealing with words like that, are we? How many times have you gone to your wife or your husband or your mom or your dad and you said, and you asked them something, you needed something, they said, don't worry about it, I got it all taken care of. And did they take care of it? Well, sometimes, and sometimes they may not. Maybe that's why we worry today. Maybe it's because somebody told us they would take care of it, and we trusted them and they let us down. I don't know. But God says, you can trust me. You don't have to worry. And then he gives us something. He says this. He says, your heavenly Father knows what you need even before you ask. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has its own troubles, doesn't it? Can I get an amen? Each day has plenty of troubles, doesn't it? Yeah, we don't need to worry about tomorrow. We're going to have plenty of problems tomorrow. Deal with what you got to deal with today. That's what he's saying. I don't know about you, but I know about Becky. Yeah, I know about Becky. She's a sweet woman, but that woman has a little worrying problem, doesn't she, Dave?
Amen.
Yeah, we do. Oh, Angela giving me some amen love there. Yeah, Miss Becky and I, we have a lot in common. You know, tell me, Miss Becky, if this sounds normal to you. And the rest of you, it probably applies to as well. Nothing has happened yet. But you think about this situation. As Faith would say, a hypothetical question. And so you have this. And you start thinking about how things would play out if this thing happened. But it hasn't happened yet. But then you're wondering, well, if this happens, then this could potentially happen. Then I act this way, and then this thing would happen. And you kind of get yourself into this big mess. You imagine one possibility, then you imagine another possible solution, then another solution. You're not sure what's going to happen, and before you know it, worry is tearing you apart. And pretty soon you're wondering, I'm not hungry, I can't sleep, I can't eat. What is wrong with me? Why am I worrying about this stuff? There's got to be something else I can do. Where is that checkbook? I can figure this out. I can come up with an extra $500 somehow. Nope. So Dave comes home and his truck is sold. There's how she came up with the $500. No, I'm just kidding. There's nothing to worry about for her now. Now you got to worry, bro. But that's how worry happens, right? It gets involved in us and it starts tearing us apart. And before you know it, we're in trouble. But the biggest problem of worry isn't what it does to the inside of you. The biggest problem of worry isn't about the mental pain. It isn't about the physical strain. The biggest problem of worry is that worry is a sin. And sin separates us from God. And you say, well, Pastor, how is worry a sin? Like, I understand lying and stealing and cheating are sins. I repented for them this week. But worry, how is that a sin? Well, worry is a sin because you're telling God you don't trust him. Just that simple. You're saying, you know what, God? I don't trust you. Worry is really just a lack of trust in God. Would you say that with me this morning? Worry is a lack of trust in God. Say it again. Worry is a lack of trust in God. It really is. So next time you worry, maybe you'll think about that. As I'm worrying, that means I'm not trusting God. And so now maybe you're thinking, well, Pastor, I want to trust God, and I do for so many things, but for this one thing, I'm having trouble trusting him. I don't know how I can. I don't know what I should do. This stuff is ripping me apart. I can't sleep at night. I'm tossing and turning. I can't eat. Lord, I don't know how I can trust God with this one problem. Pastor, tell me. Well, God knew you were going to have that struggles. Here's what he wrote in Philippians. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. So I don't know if you heard that, but basically the summary of that is stop worrying and start praying. Right? Stop worrying and start praying. So if you're worrying, that means you don't trust God. If you're praying, what does that mean? You're trying to trust God, right? So stop worrying and start praying. So next time you get in something and you start worrying and you start getting upset, you feel like you're going to vomit, you feel like diarrhea is going to start coming out of your either your mouth or the other end, you're having all these struggles in your life, remember that. Stop worrying and start praying. Because there's only one person that can give you the type of peace that the scripture says here. It's not your mom or your dad or your friend or your boss. It's the Lord. So you got to stop worrying and start praying. Folks, you can trust God through this transition in your life. You can trust God through this change that you're going through. You can trust God through this difficult situation that you face. Brother David and I were talking just yesterday. Let tomorrow worry about itself. Well, let me just take care of today. Trust God for what you need today. But why don't we trust God? Has God not answered your prayers in the past? Of course he has. Has God not dealt with all the other changes in your life up until this point in time? Of course he has. You wouldn't be here today. Has God not done all kinds of amazing things in your life that you didn't even think were possible? And still yet we can't trust him with this one small thing? You know what else happens when we don't trust God and when we worry? Causes family problems. You know why? Because we start taking it out on our family. We're worried about something, we're upset with something, and then we turn over to our spouse, our children, or whatever, and they're not worried about it? What's wrong with those people? I don't know what I'm going through. I can just see Ariel looking at Anthony. Anthony, you don't know we got a check engine light on the car? Baby, I've been driving the car for 6 months with it. It's fine. We're about to go to Texas. What if this thing blows up? Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. And he may not worry about it at all. But he looks over at his wife. Worry gets us into all kinds of trouble. Even all of us that aren't worrying get in trouble. Right, Anthony? Amen. See? When I started thinking about this, I thought, stop worrying and pray. Stop worrying and trust God. Stop worrying and cause less arguments in my house. I thought, maybe I should try to apply this. Well, we may not be able to change our situation, and a lot of times we can't, which is why we worry about it. We serve a God who can. We serve a God who does amazing stuff that we can't even imagine. We serve a God who can heal a person that doctors can't heal. We serve a God that we can pray about Brother Lewis's daughter, Leanna, being in the hospital, finding out she has a stroke, and God continuing to make these little improvements, these little goals, these little differences every single day. If Lewis could go heal his daughter right now, he wouldn't be here, he'd be there. As a dad, there's nothing more that you want for your kids, right, Gary, than to be able to help them. And when you get in a situation where you can't help your kids, it breaks your heart. And sometimes it causes us to worry. And it causes us to stress. And typically what happens is we argue with everybody then. Instead of just trusting God. God is the only one who can do this. God's done so many great things for us. He answered our prayer for Brother Gary. Brother Gary had passed away. That's really a blessing in a lot of ways. This man was suffering for 2 years in a bed. People are rolling him over back and forth all the time. He's miserable. He can't get up. He doesn't want to eat. He doesn't have anything that he used to have. The quality of life is gone. But now he's in heaven. Everything's good. Amen. God took care of it. The answer is prayers the Lord has for people just go on and on and on. When we end the service today, we're going to sing the song, God Will Take Care of You. And if you want to sing with us, that's great. But I'd rather you just look at the words. God will take care of you. Because I want you to believe that. Now I know, church, change is tough. I know that you're tired. I know that you're weary. I know that you're worn out. I know that you're exhausted. And so we get a promise in Scripture from Isaiah that says this. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. As Stephanie Blair, Gary's wife, once put on our prayer group, and I quote, she said, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But sometimes in our darkest hours, we have to pray, I don't have the strength, Lord. Please carry me through this. And God loves you enough that he's going to do that for you. You got to keep believing in those promises. Church, God is along our side. He wants you to trust him. You know what he wants more than any offering you could ever put in a plate? He wants your trust. So why don't we do that today? It's time to get rid of your worries about change. It's time to get rid of your concerns. It's time to get rid of your stress. Time to get rid of the bitterness in your family, the arguments that are taking place. It's time to lay that stuff down to the Lord and say, God, I'm sorry I didn't trust you. I love you. Help me with this. And just believe. 1 Peter 5:7 says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. How many worries are you supposed to give to him?
All.
He says, give all your worries and your cares to God. Give them all. He can take care of it. I read on a church sign one time, he's up all night anyway. He is. He wants to take your worries. He wants to take your cares. You're not meant. You're not strong enough to carry those. How big do you think your God is? You don't think he's big enough to handle your worries? Your God is way bigger than any problems you could have. Your God is way stronger than any fears you could face. Your God is way more powerful than any problems you could ever run against. But you may not be using the power of your God. You see, as one man, I might be able to drag this table pretty far. But if I ask for some help, I might be able to carry it. God wants to carry us. But we have to trust him. Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Has worry dominated your life? Is that what's leading your life right now? Because you say, I want to put Jesus first in my life. But what really is ruling your life? What are you constantly thinking about every day? Is it money? Is it paying your bills? Is it work? Is it your family? What really rules your life? Jesus is supposed to be the ruler of your life. But I can tell you, whatever you think about most is what really is the ruler of your life, whether you realize it or not. Worry shouldn't be that thing. Psalm 55:22 says, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and to fall. We got names for every single problem you could possibly have in the world today, don't we? We got ADHD. We got, all these different names to all these problems. Hyperactivity disorder. We got all kinds of names. Well, I'm going to give you a new name. Most Christians today have spiritual schizophrenia. I think that's what we deal with, spiritual schizophrenia. We say, Lord, I trust you, I trust you, I trust you. And then we say, no, give me it back, give me it back, give me it back. Lord, okay, I trust you with this, I trust you with this, I trust you with this, I trust you with this. Give me it back, give me it back, give me it back. Isn't that what we face? Isn't that what our struggle is? We say, oh, trust you with eternal life? Here you go, Lord, no problem. Oh, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this little problem at work, this deal with this problem. I'm taking it back. Eternal life, yeah, I'll trust you with that, God. This little problem you can't handle. It's bigger. Bigger than salvation. Bigger than changing my life. That person that works mad at me, I might get fired.
Amen.
He's like, Alan, you trust me with saving you from eternal death, but you don't trust me with a little problem at work? Sounds kind of stupid when you put it like that, Lord. Spiritual schizophrenia. We're all guilty, probably. I know I had it at times. So I want to make today simple for you. Today can be the day that you have freedom. Be like the same day. It'd be like the first time you took a car without your mom and dad. You know, drove over the speed limit, maybe hit a stop sign, blew through a couple lights. It can feel like that today. If you lay that burden down and just give it to the Lord, you'll have that freedom, that pain, that suffering, that not being able to sleep, that turning in your stomach, all those different problems, they can go away. But don't have spiritual schizophrenia. Don't come up here and be like, Lord, I trust you with this. I know you're going to take care of this problem. And then be like, see, Pastor, I'm a good Christian. Let me take that problem back. I'll see you later. See you next Sunday. Have a great day. You know? That's all we try to do. So let's make today the day where we're like, here, Lord, here's my problem. It's yours. Done. I'm going to pray about it, but I'm not worrying anymore. Anytime it comes into my mind where I need to worry, I'm going to do what Philippians 4:6 says. I'm going to not worry, but I'm going to pray. Why? Because worrying is what? Not trusting God, right? You can't trust God with your salvation and not trust Him with the little things in life, folks. Neither can I. We have to completely learn how to trust God. So as we close today, if you have a struggle today on your heart, if you have a burden today that you're just dealing with, if you have a worry about something today, I want you just to come down to the altars. I'm not going to bother you. I'm not going to be down there with you. Just come down to the altars and just have a conversation with the Lord. You see, you don't always have to pray quietly and humbly. You can come and say, God, I need help. I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't sleep. I got these problems. I just trust you. You can vent to God. He can handle that. He loves that. He just wants to hear from you. So if you're struggling with a problem, come down here and give it to Him. We got to end this worry today. We can't let it be the leader of our life. We have to let Christ be the leader of our life. Amen? So whatever worry we have, they got to go. We got to lay those things down. And you'll experience a freedom you never had before. You'll have a freedom from pain, a freedom from suffering, a freedom from burdens. Come watch the Lord work. If He can heal a person, if He can raise a person from the dead, if He can make the blind see, if He can change you into a person that loves somebody else more than yourself, God can do anything. So just give Him a chance. Because He's way more powerful than you are. Stop trying to do it on your own. If you want to come and pray, you're welcome to come and pray. Lord, I'm just talking to you today, God. It's just me and you, Lord. Our church is struggling, God. We're struggling with change. We're struggling with heaviness on our hearts. God, we got so many things that are going on in flux, Lord, that we're worrying. Our worrying is taking our mind off you, and we're focusing on a problem we can never solve. We're focused on a problem that might not even exist yet. God, that worry is ripping us apart. Your scripture says you came to give us life and life more abundantly. And God, I can bet in our church today, in our homes today, there's not a lot of abundant living, Lord, because we're worried and we're stressed about these things. Lord, help us to live a glorious life of freedom. Help us to come up here at these altars and say, God, I've been struggling with this, but now I trust you, Lord. And help us, God, as we try to take that back, as that spiritual schizophrenia comes back, help us just to put it back and just to pray about it. Help us, God. We can't do it on our own. All those people in the Bible, they went through change. They went through struggle. And you know what? They came and they sought you, Lord. We got to do the same thing today. Lord, I want to feel the Holy Spirit's presence just moving in our service today, God. Touch each one of us in a special way that only you can touch us, Lord. Help us to get strength from your scriptures. Psalm 9 and 10, where you say, those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Help us to get reassurance, Lord. It says, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. Help us to claim the promises, Lord. When I trust in your unfailing love, my heart rejoices in your salvation. The only person stopping themselves from giving that worry to you are us. God, you don't want us to have it. You don't want us to deal with it. You want us just to trust you. Lord, help us to lay it at your feet today.